Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, glad to be here with you today as we begin this beautiful month of June that is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a heart that began beating for love of souls within the Immaculate Womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, that's always one of the most anticipated times for a woman who is with child, hearing her unborn baby's heartbeat for the very first time. And it can bring us such delight to imagine the tiny little heart of our Savior beating for the first time in Mary's womb, and with each pulsation like an echo of love. It only makes sense that the month of Mary would be preceded by the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for Mary always leads us to her Son. Well, we've got a very special guest here with me in the studio today. But before I give away who that is, let's offer a prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe, whose image shows her pregnant, carrying Almighty God Himself, and an image that converted millions of Aztecs living in a culture of death. Now, this prayer comes from the USCCB's Respect Life Liturgy Guide. O Virgin of Guadalupe, patroness of unborn children, we implore your intercession for every child at risk of abortion. Help expectant parents to welcome from God the priceless gift of their child's life. Console parents who have lost that gift through abortion, and lead them to forgiveness and healing through the divine mercy of your Son. Teach us to cherish and to care for family and friends until God calls them home. Help us never to see others as burdens. Guide our public officials to defend each and every human life through just laws. Inspire us all to bring our faith into public life, to speak for those who have no voice. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is love and mercy itself. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. The Society for the Protection of Unborn Children is calling out Planned Parenthood's hypocrisy as the abortion giant races to condemn violence against black lives, even as it is complicit in the killing of an estimated 247 unborn black Americans every day. Planned Parenthood has taken to social media to proclaim to the nation that black lives matter and that all black Americans deserve justice. Eden Linton, the youth and education officer for the Society for Unborn Children, commented saying, Planned Parenthood's statement claiming to be devastated by the violence faced by the black community is outrageous and hypocrisy at its worst. The organization was founded by Margaret Sanger, Linton continued, a racist eugenicist who sought to sterilize and exterminate the black population. Not only was Planned Parenthood founded with the goal of controlling the breeding of inferior races, but to this day, Planned Parenthood still celebrates Sanger, branding her a woman of heroic accomplishments. In 2016, a government study found that more black babies are aborted than are born in New York City, while other studies have revealed that 79% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are located within walking distances of African American or Hispanic Latino neighborhoods. And the pro-abortion group Campaign for Accountability has recently set up an operation to try and persuade the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to seize the website domains of any group that offers help to women seeking an abortion pill reversal. The Campaign for Accountability has called the abortion pill reversal protocol dangerous to women by misrepresenting a study done last year by the University of California that analyzed the effectiveness of progesterone treatments in reversing the abortion pill process. 3 of the 12 women who participated in the study were hospitalized for severe bleeding, and the abortion group falsely attributed the complications to the reversal process. In actuality, the research proved just how dangerous the abortion pill is, especially for its potential to cause severe hemorrhaging. According to Live Action, between 2000 and 2018, there were 4,195 complications reported from women taking the abortion pill, ranging from 20% 24 maternal deaths, 97 undiagnosed ectopic pregnancies, 1,042 hospitalizations, 599 blood transfusions, and 412 infections. Not only have do-it-yourself abortions at home via telemedicine been pushed during the lockdown from COVID-19, but the rush has also been on to drive demand for euthanasia online. An associate professor at a private research university in Massachusetts is teaching family members how to mix life-ending cocktails and navigate the law as they help to end the life of another member. In a June 2nd article entitled Dying Virtually, the professor stated that families must assume a more active role in the dying process of a loved one, especially by helping the member to access lethal drugs for suicide via telehealth. Assisted suicide groups have been promoting online physician consultations and approval for assisted suicide since the coronavirus crisis began. Finally, an estimated 22 unborn children were killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday. Many out-of-state women continue to come in, as well as those from various Hoosier counties. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long to be a sign of hope and love to the women as they went in and a sign of mercy as they came out. Over 440 unborn children have been killed so far this year at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Please continue to pray for the conversion of all those who work, volunteer, and patron there. And that's your weekly in the news. Okay, so sitting right across from me today is my daughter, Alexis Seifker. And Alexis does an awful lot of praying and sidewalk advocacy there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. I've been wanting to get her on the show for a long time now to talk about her experiences there. So I'm very excited that we finally made that happen. And I've assured her that I wouldn't ask too tough of questions. So she agreed to come on the show. Alexis, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, unlike her mother, Alexis tends to be very quiet, very mild-mannered, and she thinks before she speaks, so she's got a lot of good qualities there. So with all that said, too, I know that doing this interview is probably going to be a little tough on you, Alexis, and so I am very grateful that you're taking the time and making the sacrifice to be here with me today. So, okay, so my first question for you, Alexis, is this. If two left-handed people argue, who's right? Okay. You got that answer? Okay. No, I'm sorry. I did promise you no tough questions today, didn't I? Okay. So, well, all right. I'll make this easier. Alexis, just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself. Like, for example, how old you are, where you fall in line with the rest of your siblings, anything else.
Okay. So I'm 20 years old. I have one older sister and two older brothers, and then two younger sisters. So
what kind of things do you like to do besides being at Planned Parenthood?
Well, I enjoy helping my youngest sister with taking care of our chickens, and I enjoy helping my brother with the garden that we have. I also enjoy things like sewing and knitting.
And you like to cook too, don't you?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go on then to the pro-life movement. How did you get involved? About how old were you?
Well, I'd have to say you probably remember the answer to that question better than myself. Because yeah. I've been going to pray at Planned Parenthood for about as long as I can remember.
Since you can remember, yeah. And I can't even tell you how long that's been either, because I know I brought you all when you were all just wee little, and so you've been there for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what sort of things did you start off doing?
Well, some of the first times we went to pray, we were still living in Bedford, and we would go to the Planned Parenthood there sometimes that didn't do abortions, but made referrals and handed out birth control and things like that. And then we started coming up to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood once a month on Thursdays, and we would have a prayer hour there, and the Franciscan friars would lead it, and then we would often come back to the retreat center and have a reflection. So when we moved up to Bloomington, we started getting more involved, and we would come every Thursday to pray. For a while, it was still just the 1 hour of prayer in the morning that was still often led by the Franciscan friars. And then after a time, we started coming earlier, about the time that Planned Parenthood opened, and we would stay until the end of that prayer hour. And from there, we kept on extending our coverage on Thursdays and then eventually going to other days of the week, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we started small, right? And then we built up. And as the our lifestyle and our family life allowed for it, because when you were all real little, there's only so much you can do, but we made it a point to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of grew from that as you got older, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have any memorable experiences from there when you were younger?
Oh, I have a lot of memories of women who would look, or I remember one specific time earlier on when we had been doing a Jericho march around the building. Mm-hmm. And there was one woman who had actually talked to you because she saw all the people there marching around. And she told you how she had come the year before for an abortion and she really didn't want to have to do it again. And I remember you just tried to encourage her.
Mm-hmm. So at what point then, after going through all this, at what point did you kind of take ownership and decide that you felt called to do sidewalk counseling or advocacy on your own then?
I would say when we first started doing sidewalk counseling there, you had contacted the group Sidewalk Advocates for Life and asked for the training video so that we could get it going here in Bloomington. And you needed help. There weren't a whole lot of volunteers. And so you asked if myself and my brother Isaac would like to help.
So you're going to pin it on me.
Well, I'm giving you the credit for getting me started because from there, because I was somewhat reluctant, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. since you had asked and since there was a need, I agreed to. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I started seeing more and more how important it was, uh-huh. because that was what enabled me to realize just the importance of it all. And so that's when I started taking more ownership, was when actually I started doing the sidewalk counseling. Uh-huh. And it's grown more and more over time. I was very timorous at uh-huh. first, and even for a very long time afterwards, even after I began taking more ownership. But as time has gone on, just seeing once again the importance of it all and how much the people who come into Planned Parenthood need someone to help them and just give them a little glimmer of light and yeah. love.
Yeah.
It just helps you to overcome your fears, uh-huh. seeing all that.
Yeah, kind of love. Perfect love drives out all fear.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So about how long have you been doing that then? Would you say your advocacy there?
I believe we started the Sidewalk Advocates for Life program when I was 12 years old. Well, it may have been more like 13 or 14.
Okay.
But it was around that time, and that was when we had our first training session. We had it here at the retreat center. And I remember there were several people who attended, some of whom became sidewalk counselors, others prayer partners.
So it's been a little while now.
Yes, it has. There's been times when we started out and we grew more on the days that we would go there and do sidewalk counseling. And then for a time when volunteers were short or we just needed a little break, we stepped back a little and mm-hmm. we always continued to go on Thursday since that's the abortion day.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I said, there's been times when we've done more or less counseling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you say to the women that are going into Planned Parenthood? Can you give us some examples of, you know, what are those initial words that you might say as you reach out to the women?
Well, I start out, I just say, hi, my name is Alexis. And I say, I'd really love to talk with you. And it differs, you know, the approach, whether we're there on abortion day mm-hmm. or other days.
Mm-hmm.
If we're there on other days, when we're not sure what they're going in for, I'll say something like, especially if you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, I want you to know that we're out here for you. If you're coming in for birth control or some other service, I have other information I'd love to share with you. On Thursdays, I just start off, you know, trying to reassure them, you know, I say, well, we're out here for you because we care about you and we want you to know that this isn't your only choice. And I'd really love to talk with you because I want you to know that we'd love to give you any help you need to empower you to make the courageous decision for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Thursdays are the abortion day. So that approaches our approach on Thursdays is much simpler, right? More focused on that woman and trying to get her the help she needs and so that she doesn't have to turn to that desperate act of abortion. Yeah. And then throughout the rest of the week, we just want them to maybe get over and have a little conversation where we can get them information
mm-hmm.
depending on what they're coming in for is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what kind of responses do you get?
All kinds. Some people just simply ignore you completely, just walk in the building, try and act like you're not there. Mm-hmm. Other people will try and kind of be polite and say, okay, no thanks, they're not interested, but they don't want to be totally rude. Mm-hmm. A lot of times some people will be very angry, but you can see it so clearly because they're hurting.
Mm-hmm. And I always say we like to kind of see that, though, because yeah. It means that they've got some conscience there, right?
Exactly.
So we do kind of like to see it. It's the, kind of like that indifference and lukewarmness that you don't have anything to work with.
Right.
Yeah. So do you have any stories to share with us? And that both good and bad. Can any, again, memorable things that strike you?
Well, I remember one particular woman. It wasn't very long after we had started the Sidewalk Advocates for Life program, but there was a sidewalk counselor who had come down to kind of give us a little helping hand and show us a few things, you know, as we were getting started. And he came on a Thursday. His name was Michael. And there was one particular woman who came when she pulled up. I remember seeing on the passenger seat, there was a skull on it. Mm-hmm. And I remember it just looked very, very sad. Mm-hmm. But she actually came over to talk, and she was just searching. She didn't know. She mm-hmm. she already had a little girl, and she wasn't married. I think she had some problems with addictions, and mm-hmm. she cried a lot, and
it was a very tough situation. She was full yeah. of kind of like, she didn't have any hope.
Exactly, yeah. And so we tried to reassure her and just tell her that, you know, she could do this, and, you know, if there was anything we could do, we would, you know, we'd be there for her. And that was probably one of the toughest times because she was there all day. She kept on coming in and out. She would come over and talk to us, and then she'd go back in, and we kept on thinking she's had the abortion. Mm-hmm. And finally, after hours, she came back out, and she showed us the ultrasound, and she had decided not to have the abortion.
Mm-hmm. I remember that day, too, and that was a really tough one. And she even showed up, I would say, you know, about a year later, and with somebody yes. that was outside praying for 40 Days for Life, saying that she was now pro-life, and she tells all of her friends, and that baby that you saw in that ultrasound, she ended up having somebody adopt that child. Yes. So, yeah, so we did. That was a rare occasion where we had some follow-up there with yeah. that. A lot of times we don't always know how things end up in the long term. But in that case, we did. That was a blessing to have her stop by yeah. and let us know that she had placed that child up for adoption. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing that comes to my mind, an incident was where it was a Thursday, and this, I believe she was Chinese, woman was going in for an abortion. And the escorts were being kind of, I'll call them ornery that day. They were really not letting us talk to the women. They really wanted to do their job and make sure those women get in there without hearing us or taking any information from us. And we had one in particular that was just on her game, and she was not going to let any of us advocates talk to any of the women going in. And all of a sudden, it was about noon or close to then or something like that. And for some reason, a Chinese woman came walking up getting ready to go in for her abortion appointment, and you stopped her. And that, like I said, for some reason, that escort let you talk to her. And it was unbelievable. She hadn't been doing that all morning. I sat there and watched from afar and could not believe it. And I'm like, this is a God thing. He is blocking this, preventing her from, you know, interrupting your conversation. And so you had a little conversation with that woman. Can you tell us about that? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that very well because yes. I was feeling the same thing as you were watching from a distance. I couldn't understand why the escort was just standing there not saying anything, not even trying to get her to go inside. So the woman, like you said, was Oriental or Chinese, and she couldn't speak English very well.
Yes.
She just said that she was coming into Planned Parenthood, and, you know, she was pregnant, and I was telling her about the Women's Care Center, and like I said, she was having a little bit of a hard time understanding, and she said, so you're saying I should go over there? And I was like, yes. And so as I was walking her over to the Women's Care Center, she was telling me about how her doctor said that her baby had problems and her baby was going to die anyway. And so that's why she was going to go in for an abortion. And so I just tried to reassure her, and I told her that, you know, we had a doctor who could help her. And so she went into the Women's Care Center, and we didn't see her again for quite a while. And then I remember it must have been maybe even over a year, maybe even 2 years later, mm-hmm. that we talked to the director of the Women's Care Center, because she was giving a little presentation at a pro-life event. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned this particular woman mm-hmm. who a sidewalk counselor had taken over there. Mm-hmm. And she said that they had been able to get her to Dr. Lisa Weiler. And she had reassured her that her baby was fine. You know, the woman herself did have some problems with her teeth, and she was a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing major, and the doctor was able to get her all the help she needed. Mm-hmm. And so she had this beautiful baby girl born, perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. And then not very long after we talked to the director of the Women's Care Center, the woman herself actually showed back up at Planned Parenthood and showed us her baby, Grace.
Uh-huh, it was little baby Grace, yeah. Yeah. Yep, and your middle name is Grace.
Yeah.
So how about that? And so, but these kind of situations are rare when we do
yes.
know what happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are just blessings. They keep us going, but they do happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what would you say, what role does love play in all of this?
Well, I would say love is everything, because the life of the Holy Trinity that we're trying to spread to all souls, that is in, you know, our own souls when we are in the state of grace, it's the life-giving love, and so it has to do with everything in our lives, and in particular with this ministry that has so much to do with life. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, when we're down there, we're just trying to give women a little glimpse of what love is, what truth is, because as you said, a lot of times, you know, we don't have follow-up, we never know what happens to the women. Oftentimes our conversations are so very brief, there's not much time. But all we can try and do is just plant little seeds so that hopefully when at the hour of their death or whenever some other grace might come along in their lives, they'll remember that time and they'll have seen what love is,
yeah.
even if for even just imperfectly a little bit of it. And it'll hopefully help them to choose it at some point in their life, and especially at the hour of their death.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you bring up a really good point there, is that we know that we have an even greater mission there than to save the physical lives. It's to help save souls. Yeah. And that is just so foundational. And so there is a lot of seed planting that goes on. And you know, St. Paul, he's the co-patron of our archdiocese, a great seed planter himself. And he's got a lot of verses that he wrote in Scripture, like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, God made it grow. And that's a lot of our ministry too, right? And then also, St. Paul gives us that impetus to go out there and think big, right? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So that gives us the motivation we need to get out there, think big, and don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And go for it all, because we're just doing the seed planting. That's all God asks. He will make it grow, and we each have our role to do. And there will be others that's why we have prayer partners, right?
Yes.
And they'll water it through their prayers and penances. So it is, this ministry is a lot of seed planting. Okay, so let's talk about, since the COVID-19 crisis, things have changed down there, right? It makes our work and ministry a little more challenging for a lot of different reasons, obviously, because of the social distancing thing, and people are definitely more fearful coming up to talk. So would you say it's tougher right now to do sidewalk advocacy there?
Yes, definitely, because we're also no longer handing so many things out because of the risk of contact. And it has seemed like since, especially at the beginning of the pandemic here, there has been just a lot of fear in all the people coming in.
Yes.
there have been so many more women coming for abortions, and we hear from other places that their biggest reasons are because they don't want to bring a child into this right now. And a lot of them are even women who would have wanted to have a child. And it seemed to have made a lot more evident how much people are dependent on the earthly things, because once that has been put in jeopardy in their minds, it's made their whole world collapse, so to speak.
Yeah, and we see all that playing out there, this fear and this anxiety that is driving these women to these awful decisions that's going to make, in the long run, things even worse, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you tend to be soft-spoken and a bit shy, so is this a hindrance, do you think, to doing sidewalk advocacy?
Well, it's definitely something that has to be overcome, but I'm sure for every person there's something that has to be overcome. I would say that the biggest help in overcoming that is just realizing what the gravity of what's going on there. And then once you do that, it helps you to get into the mindset of simply being approaching and reaching out to the women, thinking, I'm concerned about what's going on here, and I'm concerned about these people and everyone involved with what's happening. And so it just helps you to forget your fears when you think about the other people who are there.
And love's going to be that motivator, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and think about Moses too, right? When he told God at the burning bush, I'm not eloquent. I think you've got the wrong man. You know, I'm heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. So we know Moses probably had some kind of speech impediment, and yet God used him. Right? And God will use us no matter what, in our weaknesses. And that's not to say he won't make use of our natural talents, certainly, but if he calls you, he will qualify us, right? Yeah, I know. Okay, so real quickly, too, why is it important to be physically present outside of an abortion center?
Well, I would say in the first place, there's innocent people who are being killed there, and there's nothing that we can do physically to stop it from happening, but the least we can do is to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And also, it's obviously important because we try to reach out to the women, and if there's any possibility of changing their minds, changing their hearts, and also, I think it's important to be there to make reparation, because what's happening is such an offense against God, obviously, because he's the Lord and giver of life. Mm-hmm. And when we're there, we're showing that we're standing against what's going on here, and we're standing for all those women who need help and for their unborn children, and we're standing there for the love of God.
So our love needs to be incarnational, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Alexis, we're nearly out of time, so I got one final quick question here. Which orange came first, the fruit or the color? Okay, that's probably a little tougher question, too, so we'll let that pass for now. And you'll have to look that up for us, and next time you get back on, we'll have you answer that. How's that sound?
Okay.
Alexis Seeker, Bloomington Sidewalk Advocate for Life, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us on Pro-Life to the Max, and thank you for all that you are doing, your prayers, your sacrifices, and your courage for being out there at 421 South College Avenue as a public witness for the gospel of life.
Yeah, thank you so much, too.
Yeah. Well, God wants to make use of each one of us, whether we are younger, older, an introvert, or an extrovert, to help build up a culture of life and purity right here in Bloomington. These are very challenging times for all of us in so many ways. Let's continue to offer up our every suffering and hardship for an end to the slaughter of the unborn and for the protection of all children against the widespread graphic sexualization that occurs in the schools and in the culture at large. Thanks so much for your prayers and support, and thanks for being with us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.